Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Former UN ambassador and two-time governor in South Carolina, Nikki Haley. Ambassador, thank you. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia in studio. Well, you and I have spoken, but you've spoken to so many people over the years. We've never met. Various books, various things of that nature. And I just took away your family experience, the immigrant experience, the accounting background, the striving to do that. It truly is the American dream.
You know, I mean, my parents came here because they wanted a better life for their family. And they came here with $8 in their pocket. They came here legally. They came here the right way. And, you know, they look now at what's happening and they're offended by those people that are coming illegally. But I'll tell you, the most amazing part of all of it is legal immigrants are more patriotic than most Americans these days because they appreciate how wonderful this country is. They appreciate that if you work hard, you can be anything you want to be. And there was not a day that went by that my parents didn't remind my brothers, my sister, and me how blessed we were to be in this country.
It shows, too. And I was going to ask that because I was talking to a candidate the other day about, it was Doug Mastriano, who's running for governor.
Yeah.
And I asked him in your stump speech, he just says, why just give solutions for Pennsylvania? Relatability, talking about your family experience, your background, and matching it to the issues of today, that's exactly the thing I think a candidate should do.
Absolutely. Look, right now, we want normal people in office. We want real people in office that come with life experiences, that understand the value of a dollar, that understand what safety means, that knows what the rule of law is, and that they can identify with everyday families. It's hugely important right
now. I like how you said the word normal, because you have right here on my notes, John Fetterman, not exactly normal. I don't know if you were aware of this guy. A lot of people were not. I have been because in the middle of an interview, he just said, what the hell is this? When I asked him a hard question and hung up the phone. So I've been studying for quite a while. But it's not normal to have your parents provide for you till you're 49 almost completely. And it's not normal. Dr. Oz's staff tells me he's got three or four murderers that he got out of jail on his paid staff now.
Well, I mean, I think there's a problem when you've got a guy who wanted Bernie Sanders to be president, right?
Mm-hmm.
A guy who says he wants to tailor himself like Bernie Sanders. A guy who thinks that you should let a third of, murderers out of jail. A guy who believes that he doesn't know which tax increase he's going to be for until he sees it. And we all just need to trust him on that. You know, a guy who literally just goes and says whatever he wants to say, but just tells you at the end of the day to trust him, but he won't even debate. You know, there's a lot of things there to unwrap. But more than anything, what we're seeing is liberals have become so elitist. You know, this is the party that says, we'll spend your money for you. We'll control your life for you. Parents are not capable of figuring out which schools their kids should go to. You know, we're going to go and take the money from those that didn't go to college, and we're going to give it to those who did go to college. You know, all of these things are very elitist. The idea that they think that minorities are incapable of going to the DMV and getting an ID so they can have accountability when they vote. All of these things are so much like what we see with Fetterman. They're so much like what we see with the liberal agenda. And it's all an elitist approach, whereas Republicans really are saying, look, we're going to talk about solutions, and our solutions are going to lift up everybody, not just a small segment of people, everybody.
Do you see, do you think it's actual? I mean, we see some evidence of it. To your point, the Republican Party has become the party, Ted Cruz said the other day, of waiters and nurses, et cetera, and was some of that, President Trump making that breakthrough, or is it a policy?
I think very much if you look, we never want to go back to the party before the days of Trump, because he brought in people like where I was born and raised in rural South Carolina, people who felt unheard and misunderstood. And those are people who were true patriots that said, we love our country. We don't mind working hard, but we just at the end of the day want you to hear us. And so now you fast forward, and what we saw in the last election, we saw some suburban women, we saw, you know, groups that fell off, and we need to go and expand the tent. Our goal should
you
be
particularly,
to expand
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't want to miss that point. Suburban women, what happened in 2020? What's happening? What do you think the disconnect was in your view? Because you're right, that did fall off. If it hadn't, President Trump would still be president, because these other groups, remarkably, Hispanic Americans, somewhat African American males, he's broken through for a myriad of things. The time is right, particularly with Hispanics. What's your sense with suburban women, though? What would you talk about toward them?
So I think suburban women, you know, and I think, look, women in general, parents in general, when they look at how they're going to vote, they think of their families. They think of their kids. You know, women are the ones that balance the checkbooks at the end of the day. They're the ones that think about their children's education. They're the ones that worry about crime on the streets. They're the ones that worry about lawlessness. They're the ones that worry about anger and all this confusion. And so what we're seeing across the country right now, for not just suburban women, but for so many people, is number one, it's costing more money to go to work by going to the gas station. It costs more money at the grocery store, and that's how they feed their families.
But I'm asking you again, I don't want to revisit completely 2020, but you are as good as I can get to put a pin on this for me. Why did they, is it the mean tweets? Is it the personal thing? Is that what you buy when you go out there that made them leave? What exactly were core values much better under Trump on all these things than they are under Biden or any progressive?
I mean, I don't know exactly what lost them. I know that a lot of them didn't show up.
Right.
They just didn't vote. And I think they were frustrated. I think that frustrated by the media, frustrated by the back and forth, frustrated by the inaction. And that's why I think it's really important that when Republicans speak, we talk about solutions. We don't just say no to Joe. We talk about what we're for. And we talk about how we're going to make things better. And that is from saying, look, all of this spending that's gotten us $30 trillion in debt, we can't afford it anymore. The average American family is spending more than $6,000 a year this year than last year. Now, when Michael and I were raising our kids, do you know where we got that money from? A credit card. And interest rates are going up. That's what's happening in American families. They're looking at their children. Everybody's saying, oh, COVID messed up education, our children. No, we had a problem in education way before COVID. Pre-COVID, 65% of fourth graders were not proficient in reading in this country. 66% of eighth graders weren't proficient in reading or math. So then you go and you add 2 years of lockdowns and you look at the fact that all of a sudden these kids are way behind, but they were behind before. And instead you're going to talk to them about gender pronouns. We need to be talking to them about reading and math and basics. I mean, you've got a kid who in rural South Carolina, both parents had to go to work and he's using a screen he's never used before. Using a hotspot on a school bus down the street. Now you assume he's in third grade, and what's he learning? Reading? Fractions? History? Do you think the teachers' unions are going to go back and tell his parents to hold him back? They're not.
Exactly.
Parents are afraid of what's happening to their kids. You know, it's across the board, whether you look at the economy, whether you look at crime, whether you look
Let me stop you right there. We're talking with UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. Crime. Here in Philadelphia, you probably were briefed, and you have a sense, I'm sure. We have a DA who is the most difficult. He's up under impeachment now of all these Soros DAs. 562 murders last year, an all-time record that we're on right now to break. Memphis is in the news. I was unaware, mid-sized city. Memphis seems in Tennessee rather conservative. The last week we've learned staggering, I think it was 362 murders in Memphis last year. So when you go around the country, personal safety, border, are all these things coming together with Republican candidates you work with?
I mean, we are across the country, and it doesn't matter which coast or where in between you are. Parents are worried about their kids riding their bike down the street. I'm worried about my daughter as she goes to work at the hospital and coming back. We shouldn't have to worry about crime. But when you've had these years of defunding the police, and then you've got these years of where you're making felons look like the victims, there's a real problem there. And the people in America need to stand up. You've got to stop going and making our violent criminals heroes. And you've got to start supporting these law enforcement officers who are trying to keep the streets safe, because we're seeing record retirements. We're seeing mayors who refuse to do anything. We're seeing crime at levels we haven't seen in decades. And we're seeing all of this murderous stuff that's happening, like what happened in Memphis, which was unthinkable, all because these are felons who had been let out of jail. Now, what are we doing?
Your prior experience as governor, of course, grounds as an executive, et cetera, some big issues, the flag and other things made national news. But I think as UN ambassador, that raises the stature as far as stuff that you've seen that a lot of people that may be candidates have not. Give us your sense to listeners about China, Taiwan right now, and a sense that you may have. They're not fooling around, but as the U.S. military, are under Biden particularly, are we capable of dealing with that kind of threat?
Well, I'm the wife of a combat veteran, so I am a military spouse and have a great love for our military families. And what I can tell you is, we look so distracted right now in the eyes of the world.
You just mentioned the gender pronouns with the military.
When America's distracted, the world is less safe. And you look at all the things that are happening in the world. None of this would have happened had we not had the blunder in Afghanistan. Think about it. Because here you had, basically, we left Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night without telling our allies who stood shoulder to shoulder with us for decades because we asked them to be there. What did that tell our friends? What did that tell our enemies? Remember the hacking of the food processing plant and the pipeline by Russia?
Right, exactly.
They didn't do that to destabilize us. They did that to see how we would react. What'd we do? Nothing. And now you've got Biden falling all over himself to get back into an Iran deal with a country that says death to America every day. And, you know, all of these things are unthinkable, but it's because our enemies smell blood in the water. They know never again will we have a president this week. And when all of this is happening and you look at China building up their military, more, they've got the largest naval fleet in the world, more air defense systems than we do. We're watching them modernize their military. With all of this happening, you know what our military's doing? They're having to take gender pronoun classes.
Exactly. We have Ambassador Haley with us. Sad to report, I didn't know it was this close, Nikki Haley, but Queen Elizabeth has passed.
Oh,
yeah, and I don't know in your role as UN ambassador if you ever cross paths, or but maybe you can talk a little bit about the Brits. And I'm not a big fan of our, you know, some of the frills of the monarchy, but this woman in history is one of the greatest historical figures, maybe arguably the greatest female figure of the last 100 years or so. And you've written the book Leadership, particularly if you want something done, get a woman to do it. It's apropos in a sad moment that you're there. What can you tell us about the
sense? My heart absolutely breaks. I don't want a world without Queen Elizabeth in it, because she was such a force. And, you know, she saw 14 prime ministers come and go. But the consistency of leadership that she showed to not let things get overly political, to make sure that they represented, that make sure they stayed patriotic, was really remarkable. And to look at the fact that, you know, she gave her first radio address at 14. The idea that when her father suddenly passed, she had to step up and take the reins. The things and the different personalities she dealt with, she never shifted. She was strong. She was tough. She was graceful. That was a true leader. And we need more of those today. And that's just a loss for
I think
for the
we
UK.
Have one in you. And I wanted to ask you, you know, look, I get it. It's got to be. I haven't been through something as traumatic as Hillary Clinton losing the presidency to Donald Trump. But making it that it's just misogyny, that that's the reason out there. Give me a sense as a leading female candidate, as a much in demand surrogate and female, what the challenge is, if there is. How would you phrase it? Hillary Clinton comes across as a whiner to me, but I think there are real challenges for a woman that are maybe are a little bit different than a male candidate.
Look, I became the first female minority governor in the country.
I was in the country.
And the first female governor in South Carolina. And let me tell you, we had the lowest women elected officials than any state in the country. And what I would tell everybody is we weren't lowest in the country because men held women back. We were lowest in the country because women wouldn't run. The thing is, what we know is when women lead, women are successful. They have to put themselves out there. I look at Hillary Clinton whining about how sad she's had it. I look at AOC on the cover of GQ talking about how people hate women.
Yes.
You know what? First of all, if anybody hates me, I don't care. Secondly, I would not have become the first female minority governor in the country if this country was oppressed. We're not. We're not racist. We're not sexist. We're not any of that. Do you have people who are extreme? Of course you do. But I will tell you to this day, even on our worst day, we are blessed to live in this country. And women have an opportunity to do and be anything they want to be. No one stands in their way except for themselves. And so to every woman out there, mute Hillary Clinton. Don't turn the page on AOC. We've got great things to do. Let's get out there and do it.
Well, that brings us, though, to the midterms and then beyond 2024. Listeners would kill me if I didn't ask, if President Trump wins, would you support Trump?
You know,
if he runs?
I've always said that I would support him. You know, I think that we look back at a time when he was there and, you know, we saw tax cuts. We saw the middle class do better than they ever had. We saw the economy at record highs. We saw foreign policy that was strong. There were a lot of good things there. So, you know, he's a friend, and I've always appreciated what he did, and it was a pleasure to have served with him.
And you yourself, at some point, though, you have to consider something like that. You've written the book on leadership. Again, you are first in the right way here in the country. What are your sense of what it takes to run for elective office nationally?
Look, I mean, I think we're at a crossroads in our country from the standpoint that we don't just need someone who can lead domestically. We need someone who can lead from a foreign policy standpoint. We need someone who can do it unapologetically. We need someone who can make the country proud and sit there and get us back on safe, solid footing. And I think that that means understanding that families need to feel in control of the money that they have. They need to feel in control of their lives. Mm-hmm. They need to know that our country is safe, and they need to know that the world is becoming more peaceful. And so I think that we need a leader that's really going to step up with the energy and the enthusiasm to say, you know what, we've been great before. Let's get back to that place and let's do it better than we ever have before.
When I talk to colleagues, too, you are a particularly hard person to debate because of your background in making it. You don't have to even say that if an AOC or someone like that, I can imagine that kind of debate. So you really strike fear, I think, into the other side just on that basis. It makes it hollow. And I think that's the biggest difference. I'm not sure if you think it's all Democrats, certainly not all, but enough Democrats, the battle is not liberal conservative. It's belief in America and your success, your story, and people believing in that versus the other side saying that's not America. That's the biggest fundamental debate between the AOCs and a lot of Democrats and someone like Nikki Haley, I would think.
Well, I mean, look, listen, I think Republicans have been far too nice for far too long. You know, the Democrats go and they'll say something. Recently, you know, the New York State Attorney General released, you know, private
your
tax,
donors
private
list.
Donors.
And by the way, the name of your organization,
Stand for America. And I hope everybody will go to StandForAmerica.com and join us in that fight as we are suing the New York State Attorney General for releasing information that she wasn't supposed to release. But you look at these things and we have to fight back. And you don't have to be rude to fight back. But, you know, I wear heels. It's not for a fashion statement. It's for kicking. And I think that we have to be prepared to do that.
Hey, wait a minute. Write that down. Your staff here for another book. Come on. You should have a pad here for that. That's got to be another book coming up. Without a doubt. What a pleasure to have you in studio. And I know you're off to some events for Dr. Oz here again. Do you have personal crossing paths with Dr. Oz other than what you've seen in the campaign? What can you tell us about him personally?
You know, what I appreciate about Dr. Oz is this is a man who truly has lived the American dream. And that's what we need to see more of.
Right.
Someone who saw his parents struggle, someone who understands the blessings of America, someone who knows what it means to value a dollar and families that work hard to get it, someone who understands what safe streets mean, and someone who has truly understood the greatness of America if we fight for it. And what I've seen from him is, you know, there are people who say, oh, there's, you know, is this candidate good enough? Is this candidate not good enough? I will tell you, put Oz up against Fetterman, you are giving the people of Pennsylvania stability, consistency in a way they haven't had in a long time. You go and you have Fetterman up there, you are giving them Bernie Sanders. You are giving them more crime. You're giving them less education. You're giving them more spending. And honestly, I wish Fetterman well. I hate that he had a stroke, but we seriously need to look at the fact we've seen what happens with Biden unable to actually perform at 100%. Pennsylvanians don't need a senator that can't perform at 100%. I want him to get well, but I also want him to be honest with the Pennsylvania people, and I don't think he's doing that right now. Dr. Oz is fantastic. He's going to be a great senator. He's going to be a leader in Congress that we need, and he's someone who's going to fight for families all across this country, and I look forward to campaigning with him.
What a pleasure meeting you in person, finally. Good luck to the current book that's out there.
If you want something done, it's a take after Margaret Thatcher said, if you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. But I hope all of your followers will go to standforamerica.com and join us in our fight for candidates. Join us in our fight against the lawsuit of the New York State Attorney General.
And
join
us in our fight. Because it's not forever. She's going to be releasing those names.
That's right.
Thank you, Nikki Haley. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.